Well, thanks Leon for that. I'd like to just refocus our minds then on the bread and wine. And when you read through the Gospels, you find that Matthew, Mark and Luke are a bit different to the Gospel of John. And in Matthew, Mark and Luke, you have this section where Jesus talks about him coming again, what's called the Olivet Prophecy. When you come to John, you don't have that. And in the place where you would expect to find that, you have John chapters 14, 15 and 16. And John records there how Jesus talks about coming again. He says, I'm going away, I'm going to the cross, but I shall come again to you. You will not see me now, but you will see me. The world is not going to see me anymore, but you're going to see me. And of course, I didn't quite get what he meant, but what he meant was that I'm giving you my spirit. I'm giving you the comforter. It will be as real as if I really am physically with you. Now, we balk at that teaching because that seems to demand too much from us, that his presence can be that real in our lives, as real as if he was physically here. And this is the explanation of the difficult words that he says when he says, from now you shall not see me. After a little while you won't see me, he means I'm going to die, but after a little while you will see me, because I go to the Father. What do you mean? After a little while I'm going to the Father and then you'll see me. What does he mean? The answer to all these difficult phrases is you will have my presence in the form of this comforter, this spirit that I will give you. Now the Lord Jesus said that he died, and we're here to remember his death. He died by giving his life. He said, no man takes my life from me, but I give it of myself. Now, most people are 33 years old, dying through torture, etc., would hold on to life to the last breath. But he gave it. He said, it is not taken from me. He was not in that sense murdered. He gave his life. And in the way that he died, you see that. I'm talking about the physical way that he died. Because he died with the words, Father, into your hand I commend my spirit. So he had the last breath in his lungs, and he breathed it out in those words, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And then he was dead. And he breathed out that spirit toward us, towards the disciples, towards us who are, as it were, standing before the cross. Now, you know that I'm not a Pentecostal. I'm not talking about, oh yeah, hee-hee-ha-ha, miracles, speaking in tongues, speaking in funny languages, pulling rabbits out of hats and so forth. Not at all. He is saying that I'm giving my spirit, my words, the essence of me, my heart throb, my life, my mental life, I'm giving it to you. And this is why he said, it's better for you that I go away and die on the cross, because it's far more expedient, because then I shall be with you in a deeper sense. He said, I'm going to prepare an abiding place for you. There's many abiding places in my Father's house, and I'm going, and he means to the cross, to prepare that place for each of you, and I shall come again. And what he means by abiding, I mean all the way through, he says, through the Spirit, he will abide in us. And he's saying that I will abide because I'm going to the cross. In other words, his death there and resurrection is what released the Spirit to us. That's why, again, in John we read that the Spirit was not yet given, because that Christ was not yet glorified. So it was by his glorification, through his death and resurrection, that the Spirit was given. Now, again, I emphasize, I'm not talking about rabbits out of hats, miracles, all this kind of stuff. We're talking about to be spiritually minded. This is why Paul can say, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. This is absolutely critical to our Christian experience, and it's one reason why I encourage people to be baptized so that this action of the Lord Jesus, this sharing of himself with us, may happen. Now, I think the talks we all prefer to listen to are talks like Leon has just given us, where the speaker shares something of themselves with us. And that is the whole thing about the Lord Jesus, that his words, his spirit, whichever way you want to put it, are a sharing of himself with us. That is the comforter. In that sense, he says, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. And John's Gospel was written a bit after Matthew, Mark and Luke, and I wondered if the fact that the Lord Jesus had apparently not come back immediately was starting to discourage some of them. We know from Thessalonians that it had discouraged some of them there, and from the second of Peter. And so John is saying, look, he will come. But in essence, his coming is into the lives and hearts, that is the mind, of each of us. And this is where it is no longer mere religion. This is him getting a grip on the heartbeat, the heart throb of a person, as Leon has practically explained to us. And so I say that because we're about to take the cup and the bread in memory of him, and we often, I suppose, quote his words, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. But he really is present with us. There is this abiding presence in the hearts of each of us, and particularly when we come together on a collective level, he is here. He is here. There's that difficult verse in Corinthians where Paul says something about head coverings, whatever quite he meant, I don't know, but he says, because of the angels. And I've read all these wise expositions of that, and none of them really answer it for me, and I'm still not quite sure. But I wonder if the simplest answer is the best, and that is, because when you're together, there is the special angelic, if you like, presence of God. And that's why Christianity is not designed to be lived in isolation, that we all sit behind our own computer screen or cell phone screen and do our thing and press the right buttons and I like this and I whatever. This is why, as Leon has said, we are social creatures and we come together. We come together and in our collective sense, there is also this presence of the Lord Jesus, which there is also should be in our individual lives. We are, after all, his body in this world as a collective form. We are him, and if people want evidence that Jesus rose from the dead, well, the critical question is, well, where's the body then? You say that a man died and we all agree the body was buried, so where's the body then? You're saying it came out? Well, why then wasn't that publicly testified to? Well, why? What was this problem with the missing body? And that's what the skeptic might say. But the answer to that question is, where's the body? Right in front of you, mate. In my brother, in my sister, that he is alive through us. And when he says, because I live, you shall live also. I don't think he's only referring to physical resurrection at the last day, although that is in view. But I think the idea is, my life shall now be lived through you. I shall be present in you. This is the whole meaning of the body of Christ, which we now are going to take the bread. We symbolize my part in that body. And he is alive. The body of the Lord Jesus came alive. And he is alive through us individually, but through us on a collective level. That we as the body of Christ are him in this world. Insofar that when somebody meets us collectively or as individuals, they are encountering the risen Jesus. And there should be something arrestingly different about us when they meet us. What they meet in other people, because we are his witnesses of his life, in that our life, our spirit, whichever word you're more comfortable with, is his. And so he gave out his breath, and we focus our minds upon his death as we think about the bread and wine. And there is a line from Dallin Thomas about dying men which I remember from school. He's talking about dying men. They go not gentle into that good night, but rage against the dying of the light. The Son of God, by contrast, said, no one takes my life from me. I give it of myself, which is why I suggested that the significance of him having the last breath, or spirit if you wish, in his lungs, and he died with absolute control over that point of death. That he died not against his will, but as a gift. Last breath in his lungs, obviously hands above the head, crucified in that position. Last breath in the lungs, and he gave his life. He consciously did it. It was not taken from him. And he gave it to where? He gave it toward us. The last breath, the last outbreathing, was toward us, with hands uplifted or outstretched, welcoming us and wanting to, if I may say so, cuddle us, to hug us. And that, I think, is the significance of the form in which he died, with the hands either outstretched or above, whatever, ready to hug. It makes no difference if you want to see them in a crucifix form or above the head in that sense. The visual image is of arms outstretched to receive and to give. And this is what, bit by bit, we are receiving. As he says, if my words abide in you, then the Spirit abides. We know that we are of him by his Spirit, John says in his letters, that abides in us. And so we symbolize all these very wonderful things by taking the bread and the cup. So let's give thanks for the bread. Well, Vatsek, would you like to give thanks for the bread?
Okay. Dear Father, Almighty God of Heaven, once again we come before Thee to bow down and worship Thee and acknowledge Thy might and power, and we want to honor You, our Father, a great God indeed. It's a privilege to serve Thee and a privilege to know You. Thank You for revelation to us. Thank You for Your Son. At this moment we are so grateful that He may well manage to break His body to do Your will. Allow us, Father, to follow Him and be part of His suffering and His victory, because we are waiting for His resurrection, for His return, and for His rulership in His kingdom. So, as we break this bread, be with us, we pray, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.